Jeffrey Skilling, a former Enron chief executive, says he knew nothing about the massive accounting fraud that caused the company to fail last year. Skilling testified in Congress yesterday that other Enron officials concealed important information from him, information excluded from spreadsheets, presumably to conceal debt. Appearing before a House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee, Skilling defended Enron's reputation, blaming its bankruptcy on a crisis in market confidence. NPR's Jim Zaroli reports.
The committee invited or subpoenaed several top Enron executives to testify yesterday, but most refused to answer questions. Chief Financial Officer Andrew Fastow, the man said to be behind Enron's off-the-books partnerships, showed up briefly only to plead the fifth. But CEO Skilling, who left Enron last August before the meltdown for what he says were personal reasons, did agree to testify, saying he wanted Enron's former employees to understand what had happened. Sitting at the committee table, his face etched in a frown, Skilling expressed contrition about Enron's collapse.
As proud as I was of what we tried to accomplish at Enron, as I sit here today, I am devastated by and apologetic about what Enron has come to represent. I know that no words can make things right. Too many people have been hurt too much.
Skilling defended Enron, saying it had created jobs and tried to rejuvenate the energy industry. And he said the off-the-books partnerships that proved so troublesome at Enron were commonly used by corporations to manage risk. Skilling repeatedly said the company he left last August was a healthy one, and he said there was no rational reason for it to fail.
It is my belief that Enron's failure was due to a classic run on the bank, a liquidity crisis spurred by a lack of confidence in the company. At the time of Enron's collapse, the company was solvent and the company was highly profitable.
And if there was anything illegal going on at Enron, Skilling said he didn't know about it. He said he wasn't aware that employees under Fastow had been allowed to invest in the partnerships or that the partnerships were used to hide debt. At one point, he couldn't recall being at a board meeting where Fastow had spoken about the partnerships, explaining that the electricity had gone out and he might have left the room. At times, his testimony contradicted that of other witnesses. The company's current president, Jeff McMahon, said he went to Skilling last year while serving as treasurer to complain about Fastow's management of the LJM partnership.
I said there were several conflicts that I thought he needed to be aware of that were going on because of this. The Enron employees were negotiating against LJM representatives, and yet they all reported to Mr. Fastow. I saw that as a major conflict.
McMahon said 3 days after complaining to Skilling, he was given a new job. Skilling remembered the conversation differently, saying McMahon came to him to complain about compensation issues. Skilling's continued assertion that he never suspected the company was in financial peril seemed to irk committee members. Republican Jim Greenwood of Pennsylvania said a massive earthquake occurred at Enron right after your departure, and you want us to believe you had no clue the place was about to collapse. At one point, Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey pointed to the now famous memo to Chairman Kenneth Lay from Executive Sharon Watkins, in which she complained that Enron was about to implode in a wave of accounting scandals.
Same day you're resigning, this woman down deep in the company knows about all these problems, everything that's going on. And you're sitting here as the CEO saying you just decided on the same day you're walking away and you really don't know much about any of the things that any of the members here are asking about here.
Skilling did shed some light on the suicide last month of Enron executive Clifford Baxter, whom he described as his best friend. Asked if he could explain why Baxter took his life, Skilling paused a while, his voice breaking a bit, and then answered with some bitterness.
He was heartbroken by that. He believed, as I believed, that we had created a great company, that we were doing good things. And to have a lifetime of work denigrated, as it was in the press, was very painful to Cliff.
But for most of the hearing, Skilling's facade hardly cracked. That composure is certain to be tested again. The Enron meltdown is the subject of 9 separate congressional investigations and is also being looked at by the Justice Department and the SEC. And Skilling says he is willing to answer any questions investigators want to put to him. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, Washington.